I think sometimes it's hard for us to remember that there was this huge sacrifice made. And I know that we don't forget, but do we really think about it? Do we really think about the fact that there was this huge sacrifice made? While I was singing just a little while ago, the same songs that you were singing, and thinking about what God has done for us. Not just what Jesus has done, but what God the Father has done for us in sending His Son for us. And as I was singing, I was holding our one-year-old. She's over one now, but I can't ever keep up with the months because that's a girl thing. You know, as I was sitting there holding her, I was singing what we were singing, I was reminded of a couple of years ago when we got called into a doctor's office. And there was this moment of limbo for about 2 weeks of our life where we didn't know if she was going to make it through the pregnancy. And, you know, it was just so surreal to us. We'd never had anything like that happen before with the other girls. And the doctor was just being very honest with us. And he was just saying, we've got a 50-50 shot here. And I just thought, you know, as I held her, I can't imagine life without her. I can't imagine life without Aniston. But I'm thinking back to then, she wasn't even here yet. And our world was rocked with the thought that she might not make it. And then as I thought about that and I sang those words and remembered the sacrifice that was made by a loving Father who sent His Son to take our place. And that's so huge for us today. Jesus went through so much. He lived His whole life, and all the way up to the moments before He was killed, things were not easy, and He was constantly dealing with things. And you take, for instance, just the last week or so of His life, and you see so many things happen. You see one of His guys betray Him. You see another one of His guys basically disown Him, and He tells him, "Hey, buddy, you're going to disown me." And he's like, "No, Jesus, I'd never do that." You know, like, if you're going to call somebody your best friend, Jesus may have called this guy His best friend, and yet He's the guy that's going to betray Him when He's in the process of being tried and killed. And, you know, all of this, and yet he still threw a party, you know. He still had dinner with them, you know. He still had what we know as the Lord's Supper and communion, and we'll be partaking of that in a few minutes. And when He got together with them, He explained to them that in the days to come, and I'm not sure that they fully were aware and understood exactly what was going down, but He was explaining to them in the days to come that as they might take bread or take the cup, that they would remember Him and his life and His body sacrificed and His blood shed. And as we here in a few moments will do the same thing, we also are remembering. Tonight is about us remembering what God has done through His Son Jesus on our behalf on a cross. But before He got to a cross, you know, after dinner, He went and prayed, and then they came for Him, and there was a bit of a scuffle. And Jesus had to step in on that, kindly stepped in on that. Whereas, I still take the notion that, man, it had to be so tempting for Him at times to just, you know, not just laser beam everybody to death or something that was, you know, against Him. But then they would take Him and try Him, and nothing to be found wrong with Him except He was claiming that He was the Son of God. And even the authorities tried to let Him go. And I want to pick that story up right here and just read it with you. In John 18, verse 33, It says, so Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, I am a Jew. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? They cried out again, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. That simple sentence right there. We have no idea the amount of suffering that is behind that simple sentence. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came to him saying, hail, King of the Jews, and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, see, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe. Pilate said to him, behold the man. When the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave no answer. So Pilate said to him, will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me at all unless it was given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, behold, your king. They cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier. Also his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven into one piece from top to bottom. And they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill Scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill Scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It's easy for us to lose sight of the sacrifice that was really made for us, for our sin. The sin, not just my sin, not just your sin, not just the sin of the people in this room, but for the sin of the world, that anyone who would believe in him would be forgiven. That's an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing. In fact, earlier in the book of John, in fact, John chapter 1, we have this one lowly verse that I think was worthy of sharing tonight. And it says this in verse 29. It says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" That's our Savior. That's our Savior. And it doesn't matter where you are in life right now. He's the one that you need. He's the one you need. You may think that you need something else right now and you're pining after whatever that is. I'm here to tell you today. He is the one you need. It is in him and only through him that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father. And he wants to be that for you if he's not. If he is, if you've trusted in Jesus to be your Savior, then I'm going to invite you to join me in remembering the sacrifice that he made of his life and his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of all sin as we take the Lord's Supper together tonight. You don't have to be a church member here. The only thing I ask is that you be a believer. Scripture teaches us that before we take Lord's Supper, before we take communion, doing that in community together, that we should examine our hearts and ask God to help us examine our hearts. And I encourage you, wherever you are right now, I encourage you to take a moment. In fact, if you want to just bow your heads for just a second. Take this moment right now. Ask God to help you examine your heart. Maybe you need to take a moment and say some things to him. Maybe you need to walk away and take some moments to say some things to somebody else. Scripture teaches us that if we drink this cup and not in the right place, that we do so in judgment against ourselves. We don't want to do that. God, we pray as your people right now, Lord, that our hearts would be right. Lord, forgive us of all the things in which we fail you, Lord. But Lord, help us to make our hearts pure. Clean, steadfast. Lord, help us, help our hearts to look like your heart. Help us to trust you and not only trust ourselves. God, create in us clean hearts and renew the spirit that you have given us, that it would look like yours, that as we breathe, that our hearts would beat in the same directions of yours, that we would love like you, that we would care like you, that we would minister like you. Lord, you've shown us what that looks like through Jesus, and today, Lord, as your church, God, I pray that we could be that church. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the cross. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask if you would, if you are a believer, if you know Christ as your Savior, join us in taking some time to remember the sacrifice in which God made through his only Son, Jesus.